And good morning, Hoosier Nation, and welcome to a victorious edition of Hoosier Morning After. This is Hoosier Morning After North Carolina, the slightly delayed version. I know a lot of you were probably up partying, celebrating, watching that game. So it's nice to have a day off to recover and everything, not have to get up too early to do this show or listen to it. But what a great thing to bask into and everything. What a great win for this program. This was obviously the biggest game that all of us had going into the season. We all had circled. We all had excited North Carolina defending or favored team to go into pretty deep into March this year, ranked number one early on in the season. A little bit of maybe a little bit of sour leading into it with them with two losses and them coming off a quick turnaround. But the juice was there. The students were there. The excitement was there. And IU delivered. That was kind of the question. How was IU going to come out and show up in this game, and how Indiana is going to win a lot of games and take care of a lot of things this season is what they did. And it's by the defense. The defense continues to be the key factor for this team. And as I have discussed many times before on this show and everything, I like that when you're going against teams that have a high offense or are known for their offense, and they're going against a team that is known for their defense, I'm going to pick that defensive team every time. And we saw it in this game where IU just wore them out even more as the game went along. Defensive moments that kind of spread Indiana out and took us out was definitely even at the 3 minute mark. I tweeted out that video, those two steals in succession with a run out layup and a dunk by Trey Galloway were definitely the factors that took Indiana to the eventual win of 65-77, a game that felt like it probably should have been 65-90 by the end of it. With me, as always, is Martha the Mop Lady. Martha was there in attendance. Martha needed that day to recover, celebrating, having a good time, cleaning up the hall after things got going. Martha, thanks for being here. What are your thoughts on the game? And just give me, since you were there, your overall feelings of the energy and the excitement that was there at the game.
Yeah, it was, you know, I think a lot of us had that game circled on the calendar for a variety of reasons. But that was, you know, I haven't seen Assembly Hall like that in some time, you know, handful of years, I would say. And you know, I haven't been at every big game, but this was one that I went out of my way to make sure I attended. And you know, I get there my usual 30 minutes before the game, and the student section was packed when we walked in. The balcony was packed with students. You could just, it had that Assembly Hall big game vibe. And I thought the cool thing about it was it wasn't a vibe of necessarily hope. It was a vibe of we're here and we're going to win. And I thought that same mindset was really set by the team, and really you saw Woody say it after the game. It's like, you know, this wasn't a statement win. This was just a game on our schedule. And you saw, I don't know if you saw the clip from Cliff Marshall that was on Twitter last night, that, you know, Coach Knight said yesterday, you don't come to Indiana to play in these games, you come to Indiana to win these games. And that's really what the entire mood felt like, you know, the entire night. And I don't know that it was, and I think it would have been there regardless of whether North Carolina had come off losing two games or not. It was just, this is how this team is wired. This is how Coach Woodson has them thinking. And you could just tell from the time it tipped, even though I thought the way the game was officiated, it never really allowed there to be any type of steady flow. I don't think anybody could have gotten a crazy amount of momentum. It almost felt like it was officiated in a way to keep it, I don't want to say it was officiated to keep it somewhat close, but that certainly optically is how it felt. I mean, nobody could get in any sort of rhythm because they were calling every single, you know, ticky-tack foul. A lot of it seemed to go against Indiana because they seem a lot more active on defense. And again, to your point, I think that's what ultimately allowed Indiana to never really get uncomfortable in this game in terms of it being close. They held, I think North Carolina shot, you know, almost 35% from the field and less than a point per possession, which I think is both lows for them this season. So, again, it's just, to your point, it's just leaning back on the defense, and that's what got the job done.
Yeah, and a special shout out and thanks to the student section for not rushing the court, for the fans not to rush the court. It's in big games, in a Kentucky game, and in other situations, yes, that can be called for, but it just alludes to that mentality that you said, that it felt like this is a game we're going to win. This is what we do and everything. And as a fandom, you could argue sometimes that we get a little overreactive, and to be able to hold ourselves back in that moment, I applaud the students in their candor, because it definitely really shows that you're a classy team and everything, or just says more about you and says more volumes if you just kind of shake hands, business as usual, onto the next kind of situation. And overall, we'll get into that a little bit when we start to talk about what Indiana has coming up next. But with that energy and that excitement that's in the hall, you can get a little scared about how teams are going to start. Is things going to be sped up? Are we going to be a little bit too fast for ourselves? That energy and that fan energy can give you juice in a good way, but it can also hurry you up in a bad way. And I think a good person to then start talking about in those regards is Jalen Hood-Schifino. He did not get sped up. A freshman starting in a big game in front of a big audience like this, with all that energy, he was the main scorer for us from the beginning. He had 12 early points in the first half. It was 12 of actually of 19 of IU's first 19 points and everything. He kind of slowed down from there. I think North Carolina switched and put Black on him, and that kind of slowed him down for the rest of the game. He only had 2 points in the second half, but he continued to be out there, still had great minutes, and still delivered and created things in other ways. And it's interesting when you look at the stats as far as comparing him and X, because it's almost a flip-flop in the first and second half, where Johnson had 7 points in the first half, and Hood-Schifino had 12. Then Hood-Schifino had 2 in the second half, and Xavier Johnson had 13. They kind of flip-flop for each other, and that's great. And that shows, again, how we've been concerned, or we were thinking about, one of the questions going into this season was, how are these two going to play together? What are they going to be able to do together? And that just shows that they just complement each other, and they can play off each other. And when one is not necessarily scoring well, the other one can step up, or the other one can get more assists, or put the other one in the right position. It's great to see how they're playing together. What did you think of Jalen's handling and showing up on the big stage?
Well, you know, we talked a lot about the last couple of games, you know, the feel that he was trying to force it a little bit. And I think we both kind of said, you know, we think he's going to work through that. And I think that's what you saw. And you know, when you think about going up against North Carolina and Caleb Love and RJ Davis, and that's a big ask for a freshman, but you know, he was probably the best guard on the floor. I thought the way you mentioned it, the way he and X complimented each other, that's what you want them to look like in a big game like that. And you know, I thought Woody said it best after the game. He's like, you know, I've been happy as hell with how, you know, how Jalen's looked. He's like, you guys might not be, but I am. And you know, just the way he's carrying himself as a freshman on and off the court, and you know, came in with you know, a lot kind of expected of him. I mean, with that type of ranking and you're coming back to a team like this, that's some pressure for a freshman. And you know, you've seen him, you know, from a point guard aspect, just handled all really, really well, even when the shooting's not there, the assist to turnover ratio, which we talk a lot about. But you know, then to see him go up against a couple guards that played for a national championship last year, and not only look like he belonged, but look like the best guard on the floor, you know, and embracing the moment, right? I think he was jawing with, I can't remember who the Carolina player he was jawing with, but just to see him not shy away from that type of atmosphere, especially coming off the couple games he had, right? I mean, he was struggling a little bit. You know, I was really curious to see, you know, what version of Hood-Schifino we got. And you have to be happy. You have to be ecstatic with how he looked last night, because he embraced the moment and played really, really well. Looked like one of the best players on the court.
Yeah. And we learned quickly last year the importance of Trey Galloway. We've talked ad nauseum about how having him out that stretch of games that we did that were very close, that would have most likely, and again, I know it's playing Captain Hindsight and everything, but that we probably would have won at least one or two of those, and would have changed the end of the season situation greatly for Indiana had we had him in the game. And in this game, North Carolina game, he showed why he is so important for IU. His defense on these guys, on ball defense, just going on to Caleb Love. Like you mentioned, Caleb Love is an elite player, and he can make some pretty ridiculous shots. He showed that in the Final Four, but he can be streaky, and he can struggle too. And I think when you have a guy like Trey Galloway that can just pester guys, and Trey, I think, lives for shutting down opposing teams' stars. I mean, we saw that last year in the Purdue game against Ivy. I mean, Ivy probably should have been kicked out of that game because Trey frustrated him so much. I think he swung an elbow at him at one point. So it gets wearing on guys when you have a guy that's staying on you. He was denying him getting the ball. He just handled him in such a great way. And not only that, but the things he did on offense. He got into the lane with those floaters, was quick to run on and get out on transition in those moments. What did you see? What is your thoughts on Trey? And obviously you share the same thing, but how important he is for this team.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I think that's why there's, you know, even though, you know, we haven't really gone through the season without any major hiccups, you know, when he wasn't available for a couple games and, you know, so I think that's why there was some concern there, because you know how important he is to this squad. You know, we look different when he's available, when he's on the court, whether he's coming in, you know, whether we get off to a, you know, a rocky start and he comes in and helps level things out, or, you know, he helps us gain some momentum like he did against North Carolina. You look at how his teammates and how his coaches talk about him. I mean, he's just a guy that works, and he's got some of the intangibles that you can't necessarily teach. And it sounds like he works his butt off. You know, he prides himself on his defense, and he's that guy you love to have. And if he's not on your team, you love to hate. And, you know, I think that he just made a tremendous impact. In fact, you saw kind of down, it almost felt like the stretch run of the game in the second half when, you know, had some foul issues and the game was being called how it was. He was a guy that kind of slid in there with the other starters. And, you know, you saw Miller go to the bench for a while, but he was a kind of a guy that helped us stay where we needed to be in terms of having the game in control and just his energy and, you know, his ability to get in the lane and knock down those mid-range shots and those floaters. And I mean, he has a way of just, you know, keeping control of his body and getting those floaters off. And they almost look like, is that a pass or a shot? And then he sinks it with ease. It's, you know, he's really, really fun to watch. And, you know, my only, you know, as active as he is, and he's always has these fast breaks where he's, you know, he's racing down the court and you're like, man, don't hit the ground too hard, because that's how active he is. And you know how valuable he is. So it's all about staying healthy for me. And because we are a different team with Trey Galloway.
Yeah, and we have to speak obviously about our star Trace Jackson Davis. I liked his game. I like how he stepped up, because in previous years, and I think he's making this the rule and not the exception, like I would maybe call it last year. He is now stepping up in these games where he's playing against other all-star bigs. Last year we had many games where he almost seemed, I don't want to say scared, because that seems too strong, but hesitant to a degree when he'd go against like Kofi Coburn and Hunter Dickinson, other than in the regular season, not saying in the tournament, because that was the exception to that rule last year. But he is stepping up now in a way that he didn't last year, and really going at these other bigs. And obviously Bacot is a fantastic star and will continue to have a great career in the pros moving forward. But Trace Jackson Davis did such a great job against him whenever he was matched up against him playing on offense. It finished with 21 points, 9 for 16 from the field. 50% from the free throw line, 10 rebounds overall, 3 offensive, 7 defensive. That was kind of a great thing to see too, because obviously North Carolina is known for their offensive rebounds, and they did get theirs, and they will. But IU did a good job. What did you think of Trace's game?
Yeah, I saw a stat after the game that Trace was the only Division I player in the last, I think, 25 years to score 20-plus points, 10-plus rebounds, over 4 assists and 4 blocks with no turnovers against a top 25 opponent. You know, wild stat, but impressive nonetheless. And again, it's just, to your point, when you think about last season, specifically early in this season, you know, it always seemed like when he was up against a big guy, there was just a level of a bit of being unsure of himself, you know, and being a little bit passive. And I remember being at the Illinois game and just him not being able to get any sort of flow against Illinois at all. And Kofi just took it to him. And then you think about how that evolved over the season and how it looked against Kofi in the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, he found it and he's kept it. And, you know, now you're starting to hear, and obviously we're very, very early into the season, but you're starting to hear player of the year mentions with him, with how he's looked. And he's every game he's looked like the best player on the court. And when you can take it to a guy like Armando Bacot without even batting an eye and being able to have a game like that, you know, that bodes well for the rest of the season. So Trace has just been, he's a grown man, and, you know, he's embracing every single challenge, and it's always on to the next for him. You know, I know after the game, he's like, look, I don't know if we've beaten Rutgers since I've been here. We certainly haven't won at Rutgers. So he's on to the next, and that's his focus. And again, it goes back to Woody and making sure these guys know that not only are we here to play in these games, we're here to win these games, and it's on to the next. This should be the expectation. So love the way Trace is playing. Love his mindset. Love the way he's focused on the next game, and excited to see him continue to play moving forward.
And speaking of our other bigs, Race Thompson and Malik struggled a bit in this game. I thought when they were out there, they did compliment Trace in the proper way that they needed to, but Malik, I think, going against the first kind of really elite bigs that he's had to, struggled on some of those moves. He was able to kind of get over his shoulder and get to a good couple good hooks and moves in the lane, but kind of struggled out of his game to get that going. Nothing for concern, nothing to really be too cautious about moving forward. Again, it's going to be a matter of who steps up and what 3 players kind of step up for IU, and then everyone else is just going to basically, in a way, at least scoring-wise, play a complementary role to those ones. And it's actually interesting because Jim Coyle on Twitter posted something interesting saying Trace Jackson Davis, Xavier Johnson, and Jalen Hood-Schifino were a combined 54 points on 24 of 31 and with a field goal percentage of 77. So, and that was, like, I think, with like about 3 minutes left in the game, 3-4 minutes left in the game. So it just shows how that's going to be probably the formula we see for IU. Is you're going to get Trace Jackson Davis as a big scorer, one of the guards helping him out, whether it's X or Hood-Schifino, and then a third player. It might be Tamar on some nights, might be Trey. And that's the great thing about IU's depth and everything. Any other players you want to speak of their play last night?
Well, I think just to touch on real quick on Race and specifically Malik. I think Malik, you know, played close to 10 minutes, but it seemed like he got whistled. You know, he was a victim of kind of that quick whistle. I think he got 2 pretty quick fouls, which I think affected his minutes early. And then, you know, I think he ended up with 3. I think we had 5 or 6 players with more than 3 fouls, which, and you know Woody's philosophy with, you know, getting called for 2 fouls, especially early in the game. So I think that affected some guys' minutes. It affected their, you know, kind of getting into their flow as well. So again, tend to watch how they are on the defensive end. And I thought they played strong on that end. Really, you know, you saw us for the first time playing against that strong of opponent rely really on, I don't want to say our felt like our bench shrunk. I think it did a bit, but we certainly relied a little bit more, especially when you look at the way the minutes were spread out on our first five or six, rather than going 10 deep. We still had some guys getting some double digit minutes, but you know, like Trace played 31 minutes, X played 32 minutes, Hood Shafito only went out once and played 36 minutes. And, you know, so the bench didn't get as long of a spell the other night as they have leading up. But the guys, even that being said, you know, you saw the guys come in and try to take advantage of their time. I thought Jordan was active, even though he only put up a couple points. I thought Tamar, you know, he was okay when he was in there as well. But, you know, I think, again, we look at what he can provide on the defensive end. So total team effort, but again, just one of those games that we had to rely a little bit more on that first five or six players. You know, I don't know if it was foul trouble or just the opponent, probably a combination of each, but you know, that was my general takeaway.
And you bring up the red herring, and we have to speak on it. And again, it's never an excuse. You know, you never want to create it as an excuse for games and everything, but at least we got to attack it. The foul calling was a little bit aggravating. North Carolina, when you look at the stats, shot 27 free throws, making 20 of them. And on the stat sheet, IU shot 18 free throws, and 10 of those 18 were in the last 2 minutes of the game. So technically, IU shot 8 to their 27. That's just a little lopsided. And again, IU plays high-pressure defense. They're up in your face. They catch the ball handler up high in the half court. So there is going to always be a difference there. There is always going to be most likely IU's opponent shooting more free throws than IU does. That many? Maybe not. Like I kind of tweeted towards the end of the game, I was looking forward to assembly calls post game, knowing that Ryan was going to be on because I knew he would fire off on that. And he makes that point too. He held it back a little bit, but, and I agree with his statement where he said that he is fine with how the fouls were called on one side of the court. He was fine with how they were called on the other side of the court. Those two sides of the court were very different. They needed to be called the same way. And you heard that in the in assembly hall with a few jeers and everything when fouls were finally called, especially in the second half against North Carolina. But those 20 made free throws account for over 30% of the points that North Carolina had in this game. And as you heard Jay mention, as he was calling the game just felt like IU was up by 20 and IU should have been up by 20. And I think it's that disparity that kind of does that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd like to think that the Indiana fan base as a whole, as a majority, are from a basketball IQ standpoint, are you know, we know what we're watching. We know what a foul should look like, and we know how a game should be officiating. From to Ryan's point, and the point you brought up, right? It should look the same at both ends. It shouldn't look inconsistent. And I thought that was the major. It wasn't that Indiana was getting called for fouls. It was just the way they were getting called for fouls versus North Carolina. And it's spot on. It had that feel of. That officiating had to give them 10 points. And if it wasn't called that way, that game wouldn't have been close. And, you know, it was frustrating to watch in person because, you know, you're waiting for that kind of explode moment. And, you know, while we certainly had some, you know, Trace's dunk and, you know, assembly erupted a couple times and it was as lively as I've seen it in a long, long time. But, you know, it was ready. The roof was ready to blow off, and it just felt like we never got that opportunity because the officials had such an impact on the way, you know, on the flow of the game. So, yeah, not a big fan of it. But all that said, right? I mean, you don't expect that at an assembly hall. You know, certainly not the old adage, the hall of calls. Well, it was the hall of calls, but it's not the way that you know people are used to. And you expect to kind of have, if there ever is an advantage in terms of officiating, you kind of expect that at home. But the thing I'm encouraged by is we were able to overcome it, right? The game was really never in doubt. And even when it was, we were able to, you know, get it back in control really, really quickly. So that's why I leave encouraged with that, right? Yeah, the officiating was what it was, but we still won by double digits. So that's kind of my takeaway.
Well, and the great thing about it is you didn't see it affect the players. When things are like that, you can quickly devolve from a mentality standpoint as a team, because you start just throwing your hands up like, oh, I don't know what I can do. What can I do? It's just stacked against me, whatever I do and everything like that. And that's a credit to not only the players, but the coaching staff. Because I think Woody, I don't remember the exact quote, but Woody to a degree told the players, let me worry about that and everything. And that takes that load off of his players to ignore that. I mean, there were some guys like right after the call, like, what did I do? Kind of thing, which you're going to have, but you didn't see it affect them beyond that. You didn't see them go on the other end and try to do something and then create another foul or other situation. So I like the mental status that we saw out of the guys in the game. And I think had it been more even, we would have. My one aggravation in those calls was the moving screens. That's been obviously a thing that's been stressed upon a lot this year and going into this season. And that was not called at all. North Carolina moved on about every one of their screens. And we at least finally got one of those called on Nance, because Nance was probably one of the biggest offenders of that. Looking towards the numbers and starting to look at things, and a theme that I brought up before is how IU continues to do well in the second halves, how the numbers look better in the second half. Just kind of praising, looking at field goal percentages. First half, IU had 46%. Second half, we were 53%. 3-point, we were 22% to 25%. Again, a little aggravating in that. Quick little word on that is that at least the shots look good. They barely miss a lot of those. Again, whatever. We'll move on from that. They will eventually fall. 50% from free throws, 75% in the second half. Just looks good in the second half. And I think a lot of that is attributed to, again, our activeness on defense and playing against, especially a North Carolina team that doesn't play as deep of a rotation as IU does. We wear teams down. And the second half, we're going to play a lot better. Another stat, just going over a few stats, and I'll kick it to you to kind of talk about some of them, maybe bring up some that you like, but 10 turnovers of IU led to 17 points by IU. Points in the paint, again, another big story leading into it, because that's a big point for North Carolina with their guards who like to drive it, and with having Baycott down below and Nance that can create some great shots. IU won that 24-50. What are some stats that you're looking at?
You know, I think the one that pops out to me, and you had your opinion on it, and my I kind of echo yours with the 3-point shooting. You know, going 3 for 13 for the game. You know, and when you look at who took those shots, you had Malik Renew jack one up. You had Race Thompson jack one up. You had Jordan Geronimo missed 2 threes, and you had Miller Kopp not shoot 1 3. And you know, for me, it's it could have been the game plan, whatever. It goes back to, you know, not running many sets for Miller to get any looks from three, because I think when we're on, he's probably one of our best, if not our best, 3-point shooters. So for him to not get any opportunities, and it's not like we ever really needed any, but you know, when you look at it, I think that's the reason why there's not a massive concern, is because it doesn't seem to be a focal point of our offense, and it doesn't need to be right now. I think if and when it needs to be, then you start to see some sets for some guys that probably are better 3-point shooters. Right now, we just seem to be, if a guy's getting an open look from three, he's taking it and not necessarily making it right now. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how that evolves as teams adjust to try to defending us. I think we'll probably at some point get some more open looks from outside, you know, based off how we're shooting right now. So just one to keep an eye on as we move forward. And hopefully we don't have that poor of a shooting performance from deep, you know, here within the next couple of games, but I'm just curious to see how that one evolves.
Yeah, and an interesting play and great 3-point shot that IU gets. And I think Jalen Huchefino hit one of those. I think someone else might have two. Might have been Tamar's three. I'm not sure, but is that high-low action when we post feed down to Trace Jackson Davis, and then whoever fed it to him stays out there right there at the 3-point line. And when the defender comes down and tries to double, and then that kick out from Trace Jackson Davis, he's very good at finding that shooter again. And that's where Huchefino got one of his threes. I would like to see that play and that action come with Miller Kopp, because I think maybe that's where you can generate some more 3-point shots for him. And not only that, but with Miller being such a bigger 3-point threat than probably Huchefino is, might lend them to not double. And then again, Trace Jackson Davis is going to be able to take it right in from there. Or again, he'll be able to dish it out, and you've got a great look for Miller Kopp. So maybe we'll see that more. Maybe that's some other things to play. Maybe it has happened and I just haven't noticed it within the play of the game. But again, just speaking overarching theme of this game, and the great thing to see is IU's defense. And IU's defense is going to continue to be the thing that we hang our hat on, and the thing that leads us to games and gets us through these tough ones. And it's just great to see IU continue to execute towards the end of the game and not having to hear Woody have to say the word hump at all this year. And hopefully we never hear that word come out of Woody's mouth. Any other little storylines, players, stats, or anything you want to get at before we start to wrap things up and look to the next game?
No, I think for it's just the entire, it's just really incredibly encouraged just about the entire mindset of this squad. And I've talked a little bit about it. Just, you know, it wasn't, you know, we're going to enjoy this victory. We like this victory, but it's just a part of our overall mission. And right now our focus turns to Rutgers, a place that we haven't had a lot of success. And what do we need to do to beat Rutgers? So just incredibly encouraged by the entire mindset. It just goes back to, you know, whether it's next man up or, you know, nobody's looking for theirs. It's a total team effort. And, you know, you can just tell from the mindset, and really encouraged to see how we handle this first opportunity on the road conference game. And just a really big opportunity for this team to continue to check the boxes and continue to have a successful season.
And we wouldn't be remiss. I think the delayed show allows us to do a little bit of this too, but we've got another ball team that is a heck of a ball team for this for Indiana, and that's the women's team. They completely spanked North Carolina last night, and even with their star player Grace Berger sitting on the sideline, that was great to see. Did you were able to watch some of that game, and what were your thoughts from the women's game?
Just another team that has the mindset of their coach. They put the work in and they execute on game day. It's so great to see, because, you know, we talk a lot about the men and their mindset and taking after their coach. It's the same thing with Coach Moore and the ladies team. It's next woman up, and you know, no excuses. We worked hard for this moment. Let's go out and execute. And you know, they're just a team that continues to get it done. And whoever got the chance in Bloomington to go see them play, I highly recommend it. I'm taking my daughter down to a couple games this year. They are a lot of fun to watch. They're a lot of fun games to attend. Generally, it's general admission, so you can get right up close. And it's just a wonderful experience. They are a fantastic team. And to continue to watch what Coach Morin is building, you know, it's great to see. I think, you know, obviously being the basketball school we are, you know, the women's team has always kind of taken a back seat, but you're starting to see the work she's been putting in. And this, it's been a fun process to watch, but this program just continues to build and build and build. And even when they are hit with, whether it's, you know, a transfer or a player getting injured, you know, we had a couple injuries last year. Mackenzie Holmes went down last year for an extended period in time. there's never excuses. They just continue to put in the work, and just a fun team to watch. And I think they deserve our support again. So if you get that opportunity to watch them, I highly recommend doing so.
Just a tough team, defensively tough. Shot the lights out from three. They need to kind of gloat at the men's team, maybe pop into the men's practice and give them a few pointers or something. That could be very interesting. It was awesome to see coach as well supporting her teammate her player that was out by wearing her sweatshirt and everything. I kind of cringed at one point. I was like, I'm sure she brought this past legal. Are coaches able to buy their players NIL stuff? Probably should be fine. But hey, it never have I said, and this can be said for both Indiana things. And I got to play this clip from coach, because it is true for overall saying Indiana basketball, but
Indiana basketball, excuse my language, is the
and it is coach right now. It's firing on all cylinders on both the men's and women's side. Get to those games, go to those games if you can, and support these women, because they're playing out. And if you miss out and they end up winning a championship, which is obviously in the cards for them this year, you're going to be kicking yourself for not getting to one of those games. So if you live in Bloomington, Indy, any of the surrounding areas where you can get to games, get out to one of those games, which is great to see. So moving on again, talking about the next game that the men have up. Indiana plays on Saturday against Rutgers at 4 p.m. It's on BTN at Rutgers, a team that's had our numbers and we have struggled to play against. And I do enjoy, like you kind of teased earlier, mentioning that the mentality is right in this team. And coach said it in the video you saw of him in the locker room focusing the players, and Trace Jackson Davis said it in his press conference. They were celebrating this win, but they were focused at the next game. Now it's about the next game, about next up. And even X on Twitter almost immediately after or the next day, yesterday, retweets Coach Adranya's clip of Geo Baker, where he basically discusses Rutgers having IU's number and not being scared of them. This is a personal one. This one has a personal level to it. And Trace Jackson Davis, like you said, hasn't won yet there. And we need to take care of business. It is not a stacked or stat heavy team. It's not a team that's easy to, but it's not a team that's easy to lose against. They play tough. They play really tight basketball, and IU's going to need to take care of business. And that's going to be a big thing too. Something that concerned us last year after a big win. How is this IU team going to come out? Your thoughts on this one coming up?
Yeah. I mean, we know, not only is it a tremendous opportunity, but you know, we're now becoming the circled opponent on our opponent's schedule. So it's a big opportunity for Rutgers too. They've got a top 10 team coming in, and you know, they lost quite a bit from last season. On paper, it's a game that we should go in and win, but you know the type of environment it's going to be. You know the opportunity it presents for Rutgers. So we've got to go in with a tremendous amount of focus and expectation that we're going to win, but you know, also the mindset that this is going to take some work, right? We've got to go in with the right mindset and get to work. And you even look forward even a little bit beyond that. And you've got Kansas and Arizona, all teams with, you know, that have now lost a game. I think Arizona lost their first game. So, you know, again, we evolve somewhat of having these opportunities to prove ourselves for our opponents to take that same mindset when Indiana comes in, because we've looked really, really good and they're going to step up their play too. And we've got to be ready for that. We've got to expect that. And just takes a, it takes a different gear, takes a different mindset that we're going to go in and play well, go in with the right mindset and get a W. And the Rutgers one, they've been a thorn in our side for, you know, a couple seasons now. I remember the half court shot to beat us last year in Assembly Hall. So we own a little bit of payback, and hopefully we get that on Saturday.
Yep. And Megan brought up an important thing also on in the chat there. IU soccer also plays on Saturday at 5 o'clock. ESPN Plus is where you can catch that game. in the, I believe this is the third round now that they're at, playing number 12 UNC Greensboro. So IU Athletics cooking on all cylinders, and amazing to see everything that's going on and everything, and a great time, a great period to be a Hoosier. So it's so exciting to see these things that we have to watch and support for the athletic department. So get out there if you can to these games as things go on. If you live in the Rutgers area, get out to that game. Be there to support the players. And I'm excited, scared, every emotion going into this game because of what it means and what IU can do and the momentum that we can continue to carry on. And you mentioned the Arizona game, obviously coming up as well in Vegas. That's very exciting. I'm going to be out there. If you're there, say hi, come see me. I'm going to bring stickers and everything like that and everything. So come to see me. But hopefully Arizona continues to win because I don't want it to be a pattern. Look out, Kansas, maybe you're next when our game against you is coming up, that all these marquee games, the teams start to fail and lose leading up to our game. But exciting times again, guys. I could sit here and ramble for hours into that, but we'll finish up this one. So thank you for being with us on this edition of Hoosier Morning After. We'll be back with you. We may be delaying that show to Monday. We'll see as we get things going, but a big game coming up for IU, and hopefully you can be there with us leading into it. Thank you for being with us. Thank you to those that are live in the chat, Joel, Megan, Richie, Scott, all you guys. I appreciate you guys being here, being a part of it. Tony as well, I see you in there. Thank you to those that listen on the different podcast platforms. I see those views. I appreciate you as well. We'll be back again after the next IU game. Thank you to Bob Thompson for producing the music you hear on the show. Everyone, go out there, have a wonderful day. And as I always say, let's go Hoosiers.